Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Happy Friday to you. Just edging up on 909. I'm Andy. Open line Friday. If you want to call or text, we'd love to have you call us 673-5890 or text me at 467-5842. Hey, my wife just texted me. I hope it's not anything important. I might have to bail on Mello. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Might have to do the show by yourself,
well,
depending on what this text says. I'm reading it really fast.
Yeah.
Okay, my wife says she wants to go to Salt Lake today, not tomorrow.
There you go. Important information.
We're going to Salt Lake today. I'm not happy about that. I wanted to go tomorrow.
I'm going to California today. So.
You're going the other way, huh?
Other way.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome, Mello, and thank you for being here today. It is May 30th. It is my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday!
And you're like, wait, Andy, you're old. How could you have it? Yeah, my dad's old, too. He's older. He's 90 today.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we had a big party for him on Monday this week and invited a bunch of... It's funny. I don't know if it's funny, but somebody said, we should invite all of dad's friends. And I'm like, but they're all dead.
Oh, Andy.
No, they're not all dead. We had a lot of good friends there. I do not believe anyone in the room was older than him, though. I'm pretty sure he was the oldest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of family and friends, and we had brisket chili from Big Lud's. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You ever had that?
I don't know what that is. No.
It's just chili, but instead of hamburger or whatever you put in chili, he uses brisket. Like, you know, that's been smoked brisket.
And where's this?
It's Big Lud's Barbecue. It's that trailer that's over by Barbecue Pit Stop.
Oh, I didn't know that existed. That's amazing.
And their brisket chili is he only has it maybe once, like Fridays and Saturdays. He doesn't have it during the week, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty excellent.
Oh, to try that.
It's got a sweet flavor to it, but then it has like this little,
kick in the pants.
Yeah,
love it.
Right at the end. So. happy birthday, Dad. Hope you have I know he's listening right now. I hope he has a fantastic day. And he always likes to joke that he doesn't buy green bananas because he might die before they do or before they turn brown or whatever. But, he's still going strong. You know, I lost my mom. It was 2020. So mm-hmm. Exactly 5 years ago.
Jeez.
And, honestly, I think a lot of us were like, I don't know if he's going to be around much longer because they had a really kind of fairy tale love affair, the two of them.
Sweet.
And but you know what? We kind of rallied around him. He's got, three kids that live in the area right now, and three of us, four living children live in the area, and he's still going strong. He goes swimming three times a week, 34 laps.
Wow.
I can't do 34 laps right now myself. There's no way.
No.
And my dad does it. And he's just, I'm really slow. I'm like, yeah, I'm slow or not. You're doing it.
34? You know what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever done 34 in my life.
No, I can't do, I could do 34 laps around the buffet maybe. but that's about it. So.
Awesome.
Anyway, happy birthday, Dad. Your dad has had some health issues lately, but he's doing better.
Yes, he's out of the hospital, and that's why I'm going to California. We're gonna have him go to my sister's for a few weeks. She's a nurse, so she can keep a good eye on him, assess him, and then bring him back in a couple weeks and see where he's at.
Wow. Now, that trip is that's not an easy drive for a young person, but, you know, for a guy, your dad's, what, 82?
81.
81?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not an easy drive to go to Cali from here, especially on a weekend. You're liable to encounter a lot of traffic on the way.
Yeah, my sister rented a van, and we've got the seats in the back kind of laid back, and then we folded the captain chair in front of it, so we've kind of made like a pseudo place where he can stretch out, keep his feet up.
Nice.
So he should be comfortable, and we'll make plenty of stops, and my sister drives slow, so that will be fun.
My dad, maybe I'm revealing too much information, but he needs to stop bathroom stops often. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons he stopped riding with us, because I hate to stop, man. I'm like, here to Salt Lake, 4 hours straight. We're not stopping, straight through. We're going to, and my wife kind of got used to it, even though she, you know, probably needs bathroom stops too. She's kind of like, all right, we're not going to stop. I guess I'll just not drink before and while we're going or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But my dad's like, we got to stop.
I have a puppy sized bladder.
Oh,
so
do you?
Yeah, it takes me several stops to get up north.
That's why you take a Mountain Dew bottle with you.
Negative, Ghost
Rider.
No,
that's not going to happen, huh?
No. No, I need to stop.
Work for guys. I don't know. I thought it would be fun for just a second to talk about 1935. That's the year my dad was born. In 1935, the president was a guy by the name of Franklin D. Roosevelt. Mm. And let's see, 1935, they were in the grips of what they called the Dust Bowl, which means, you know, it's so funny. Everybody talks about climate change and how hot it is. In 1935, it was really hot all around the country. That's why the country kind of became what they called the Dust Bowl, because everything was drying out, and we managed to emerge from that. So let's see what else happened. Richard Hauptmann, who was the guy that kidnapped and murdered Charles Lindbergh's baby, was the trial began for him on January 3rd of 1935. Let's see what else. Oh, the Academy Awards were only 7 years old at that point. They took place in the Biltmore Hotel in L.A., and Frank Capra's It Happened One Night won the first official, it was a new category, Best Film. They were awarding Best Actor and all that stuff, but now Best Film, and again, It Happened One Night, which is a movie I have not seen. I don't know, you know, the year my dad was born, I don't know if he would have seen it either. Maybe, probably later on video or something, I don't know. Porky Pig made his debut in Looney Tunes' I Haven't Got a Hat. So Porky Pig, it's his birthday, I guess, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so happy birthday to Porky Pig.
And your dad.
And my dad, yeah. Let's see what else happened. Alcoholics Anonymous was founded in June of 1935. Again, the Dust Bowl. So one thing about the Dust Bowl, this was in April. The Great Black Sunday Dust Storm, made famous by Woody Guthrie in the Dust Bowl ballads, hit hardest in eastern New Mexico and Colorado and western Oklahoma. There was not much in the way of water in those places at that time, and it was pretty serious stuff. Okay, world's first parking meter was installed in 1935 in Oklahoma City. I was thinking, first parking meter's got to be New York City, maybe Chicago, maybe Detroit. Yeah. It was in Oklahoma City.
Really? I wonder if it's somebody that lived in Oklahoma City that created it, and that's where it got its start.
Right. You want to park here? Put a, I don't know, back then you put a penny in, I guess. I don't know. Speaking of pennies, I guess they're going away, right?
Yes. I told my husband to not get rid of any of our pennies.
In August of 1935, by the way, humorist Will Rogers, who famously once said, "I never met a man I didn't like," and Wiley Post were killed in a plane crash shortly after takeoff in Alaska. It was one of those little puddle jumper planes, the ones that land on the lakes. But Will Rogers is one of those guys. He said, "I never met a man I didn't like," and that spawned. Now, I don't know if you've heard this. I've heard it many times. Will Rogers never met you, did he? That was like the joke that maybe the generation before me, but I've heard a lot of people, you know, when they meet someone that's kind of a jerk, they're like, "Will Rogers never met you, did he?"
That's so funny. I didn't know that was a correlation.
Yeah.
Hey, just letting you know that the parking meter was made by a man named Carl McGee, who moved to Oklahoma City from New Mexico in 1927. So he did live there, so that's probably why it was there.
Okay. That was his hometown. Well, it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Let's see. Bob Denver was born in 1935. That is Gilligan.
Remember
Gilligan's Island?
Yes,
yeah.
My mom used to watch that.
Same age as my dad. And I have a funny story about that. So when my dad was a television weatherman for many years. And at one point, his evening weathercast was the same time as Gilligan's Island.
Mm.
Now, back then, we didn't have fancy remotes and stuff. So my mom would be in the kitchen or doing whatever, you know, she was doing. And then she would come in and put the weather on. We all wanted to watch, as kids, we wanted to watch Gilligan's Island, you know, it was funny. So mom would go and turn on dad and he was doing the weather. And then she would go back in the kitchen and immediately after she left the room, we would get back up and turn it back, run across her room and change it back to Gilligan's Island and Bob Denver. I had no idea Bob Denver and my dad were the same age, but, we would watch Gilligan's Island and then mom would come back in and yell at us and turn dad back on. And it was kind of a fun endless cycle we had or something. I was trying to see if I recognize any of the other. A.J. Foyt was born in 1935 as well. A.J. Foyt was a famous IndyCar driver and the guy that I semi-named my oldest son after.
Mm.
My oldest son's name is Andrew Allen Griffin Jr., but we call him A.J. after the great IndyCar driver, A.J. Foyt.
So, I didn't know that.
There you go. Yeah, that's See, all us guys, I don't know if your husband has admitted this yet or not, but all us guys have tried to name our children after somebody famous in sports that we really liked.
So my husband did.
Yeah.
And I didn't know because I'm not a sports person. So my husband, when our son Maddox was born, he's like, I want to name him Maddox. And he mentioned this in the hospital. So there was no...
Oh, it's too late. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had no idea that this was even a name. I'm like... Who's Maddox? He's like, Greg Maddox, only the best pitcher of all times for the Braves. I'm like, okay, but here's my question. And this is what I said. I said, is Greg Maddox alive? He said, yeah, he's alive. I'm like, then we can't name him after him. And he's like, why? Why not? I'm like, well, look at Bill Cosby. Look what happened with Bill Cosby.
Oh, what he might have a late life scandal.
Right. What if he has a late scandal? And then we've named our kid with this moniker that has to be, you know, refuted by a bad image. Mm. He's like, nothing's going to happen with Greg Maddox. We're
safe. That's a good point. So. What if, that's a very good point. I actually golfed once with Greg Maddox.
You did?
I was in the Nevada Pro-Am. My partner was a guy by the name of Marty Barrett who played second base for the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. At one point during this, it was a best ball tournament. What that means is all four of your team hits the ball and whoever hits the best one, that's the one they take.
Yeah.
Anyway, at some point during the tournament, we were driving our little golf cart and we came across Greg Maddox and his partner. And my partner, Marty Barrett, says, hey, Greg! How you doing, man? And Greg, oh, hey, Marty, what's going on? He says, hey, man, let's make this a little more interesting, shall we? How about we bet $150 per person per hole for this golf tournament? Now, at the time, this was in the 90s. I was a poor, I had five kids. I had no money. I was, and so after we drove away, I'm like, Marty, I don't have that kind of money. I can't do that. And he goes, oh, don't worry. I got you covered.
Aww.
So I'm like, oh, well, that's sweet. He's going to cover the bet for me. And so we ended up winning by 4 strokes over Greg Maddox's team, which would be 4 times $100, $600, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, sweet, I got me a payday coming. Well, as it turns out, what he meant by I got you covered meant you're not part of this bet, dude. You're out.
You're so not in the bet. You don't get nada.
I didn't get any money. No, there was no money had at all. So, darn it.
You got to pay to play, Andy.
I guess so. I thought when he said I got you covered, I thought he was gonna if we lost, but we won, and I don't know. Anyway, happy birthday to my dad. I there's like 500 birthdays in 1935, so I'm not going to go over all of them, but yeah, a couple of the Robert Downey Sr., not Junior, not the Iron Man, but his dad was born that year. I'm guessing I'm about Robert Downey Jr.'s age.
How old are you again?
I'm 59. Mm. Probably pretty close, right?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know how old he is, but I could find out.
Okay, let's check the news wire real quick. And again, happy birthday, Dad. We will move on now. Search and rescue was busy yesterday. There were two search and rescues in Zion. A 40-year-old man got overwhelmed with the heat, and a bunch of teenagers, 17 and 18-year-old boys, got overwhelmed with heat, and they had to get search and rescue in to help them. The one that fascinates me, though, is this one. I'm going to read the story to you straight, and then we'll kind of go off of it. So, Jaron Studley is the police chief for Santa Clara Ivins, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a buddy by the name of Dr. Scott Cook, who is an ER doctor here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, because it was 1 year since Studley got the job, they were going to go on a four-wheeler ride out off the Arizona Strip on their little ATVs, right? Sounds kind of cool, kind of a fun deal. So they go riding out there, and about 2 hours in, near what is called Elbow Canyon, and I don't know where that is. I've never been to Elbow Canyon, but they come around a corner, and they see kind of down off in the distance a white speck, they see something down on in the dirt down there, and they're like, what the heck is that? So they drive in a little closer, and they realize it's a car. It's Hyundai Sonata, and it's stuck in the dirt. And they're like, that is weird, right? So they go closer, and they get near the car, and they find a guy by the name of Robert Marciano, 67-year-old guy. He was exhausted, and he was panicked, they said. And Marciano's wife was in the car still. Her name was Tina. She had injured her hip.
Oh, no.
And apparently, as the story came out, first of all, Marciano said, I can't believe you found us.
Wow.
Like people were searching for him. Nobody was searching for them. But he said, I can't believe you found us. And then they said, well, how long have you been here? He said, well, we got stuck on Monday. What day is it now? They had been there for 3 days.
Holy
no
cow.
Food, stuck in the dirt. out in the middle of nowhere. They had taken things out of the car, including car mats, to create a signal fire. They thought, we'll start a fire, somebody will see the fire and come and wonder what that is. Nobody ever came.
No way.
And so, I mean, the whole thing is, they were eventually life-flighted out, and they are now, it looks like they're going to be okay, but can you imagine that whole ordeal? First of all, the 3 days, and then, you know, my wife is funny, because our anniversary, was it 2 years ago? When I bought my truck, we went to Moab, and we went four-wheeling out in the middle of nowhere, hurrah pass and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty rugged. And I could see, I mean, I had this new truck, and we were able to handle it. But there were other people trying to drive little cars around in there, and it was rough. And I thought, my wife hates that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, she just doesn't enjoy that. I wanted to go back. She's like, we're never going back. I'm like, all right. But anyway, it's stories like this that kind of, I can see why she's a little bit nervous about that kind of thing. Getting stuck in the middle of nowhere with no supplies, really, or whatever was in your car. Nothing to even burn to start a signal. They burned their car mats, for crying out loud.
How did nobody know they were missing? They didn't tell anybody they were going out there?
I don't think so. I think, you know, when you're that age, they're probably freshly retired. Go on trips all the time. Your kids probably didn't even think much about it. They're like, they had no cell signal. They were just stuck.
So sad.
And with the wife's injury, I guess she hurt her hip. With the wife's injury, I think the husband felt like, okay, what do I do? Do I try to hike out and find someone?
Right. Will I find her again?
Will I find her again? And do I leave her anyway? She's injured and no food or water and... So I think the husband was really kind of, I don't know, between a rock and a hard place.
Literally.
Almost literally, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I don't know. What do you think the authorities would tell us to do in that situation? And what would you have done?
I probably would, if I was able-bodied, I would have, like, left when it was darker and tried to walk out when it wasn't so hot and tried to find help.
I think that the road you came in on, couldn't you just follow that road and eventually... Mm-hmm. Now, it may be, you know, it might be 30 or 50 miles or something, but at least you know that that road led somewhere, right? Eventually.
It was 30 or 50 miles?
Well, I thought it was
2 miles. No,
it was out of ways. Yeah, it was out of ways.
The problem is I'm very... I'm not very good with directions, and I get turned around really easily. Mm. So I probably would then stay put.
I was going to say, I think the authorities would tell us, stay with your vehicle.
Yeah.
And I think they did. But the problem with that is they didn't have any supplies, and it was 3 days and nobody had come yet. You know, they found them yesterday afternoon. They had gotten stuck Monday morning. So almost 3.5 days with nobody.
But what are the odds? I mean, then you have to think about the grace, right? An ER doctor is one that happens upon them, right? And somebody with
a police chief,
And a police chief. Like, what else? Like, they have the tools, both with the medical and being able to reach people off-grid. So, it you can't say that things don't happen for a reason, so.
I think you could probably make a case for some kind of divine intervention.
Exactly.
Because you know that this couple was praying for someone to come along. And,
right. And what are the odds? Like, that's not just a coincidence, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidences.
We don't know a lot of the details on this, but mm-hmm. I do know that they have been since brought back into civilization and they are recovering. So that's nice.
I don't think I'd ever take a road trip out on the Arizona Strip again.
they probably will not.
Stick to the freeway.
Another news story today. The cat who survived that fall in Bryce Canyon National Park. Do you remember that story? We talked about it a week or two ago. So this couple, and I got to be careful. I don't want to say they committed suicide. We don't know that. But a couple went off of Inspiration Point, and one of them was holding the cat in a carrier, a little mini, almost like a duffel bag, a little carrier. Anyway, the man and the woman were both killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the cat lived.
Yeah.
A cat named Mirage. I don't know. There's probably some kind of link there. Mirage living through. Anyway, the cat has been adopted by the pilot of the helicopter that helped discover the cat.
Aww.
The cat was there. Her name is Chelsea Tuga, T-U-G-A-W. I don't know how to say that word. But, she's adopted the cat. Now, the only sad thing here is the cat is 12 years old and did break several bones in the fall. Cats don't usually live much longer than 12 or 13. And with broken bones, I don't know if Mirage will be around a whole lot longer. But it's still kind of a cool story.
That is pretty right? sweet.
I'm still amazed that cat would survive that fall. It was 390 feet from Jeez. Inspiration Point down to the bottom of that cliff.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible.
That's incredible. I'm glad she found a new home.
All right.
Oh, can I tell you one quick story?
Please do, yeah.
So my sister-in-law, they haven't had any pets. She has 5 kids, okay? So she had 2 kids, and then she got pregnant with triplets. So she has 5 kids, and they're all under the age of, like, 9. And they've never had any pets, and they finally decided to get a pet. And so they got a cat. And the kids were all excited about this cat that they bought. And they named it Cozy, and it's a little girl. And they've had the cat for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and they've got its little name tag, and the kids are all in love with it. She just discovered, due to biology, that it's a male cat. And so now she...
Well, now, wait a minute. There are people out there that say it could declare as a female cat. Well,
I know.
Never mind.
Yes, no. Yes. So then the discussion this morning on the in-laws texting, when I woke up to 95 text messages, here's what she says. Part of me wants to just not tell the kids, but then the other part of me is feeling like every time I look at her and she's such a cute little sweet girl, I'm going to cry inside and feel wrong about it. I feel like an abusive mom that is trying to force the boy to be a girl.
Oh, man.
So there were lots of jokes about transitioning and he, she, and her, him, and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
So she's gonna tell the kids, and the sister-in-law's asked her to please record it so we could all enjoy the moment.
Oh, yeah. So she's not gonna declare the cat a female, even though it's a male.
No, but I think it may be a male cat named Cozy with a pink tag, because her ID tag that she got for it, like where it clips, is engraved.
A gay cat? Is it?
It's not gay. Boys can wear pink. Boys used to wear pink.
Not bows and ribbons.
It's just a collar.
Okay.
It's a pink collar. That's okay. Guys look good in pink. I'm not opposed to men wearing pink.
I have a pink shirt or two, but I would not wear a pink collar.
You would? Well, I hope not, but...
I don't know. We were talking earlier about naming kids and how guys kind of secretly name their kids after sports heroes. Mm-hmm. So I have AJ in Dallas. Dallas, obviously Dallas Cowboy. He loves the Cowboys, which is awesome. I acquiesced with Bryce. I wanted to name him after a famous football player, but my wife said, no, Bryce is going to be his name, Bryce Canyon National Park. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who loves baseball, and his kids are, his oldest is Cal, after Cal Ripken. His number two kid is a girl, but he named her Ruth after Babe Ruth.
Oh my,
and
really?
His number three kid is Teddy after Ted Williams, one of the
really?
All-time great players. So I said, how did your wife go along with this? He goes, well, I didn't tell her till after the third one was born.
Oh,
so she just liked the names and went along with it. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of a secret baseball thing going. And but not as bad. I have another friend who named his son Ripken. So Cal can be, Cal is a relatively common name.
Yeah.
But Ripken is not. You name your son Ripken, then you pretty much, he better be a baseball player.
Yeah. I actually changed one of my kids' names in the hospital when my
ex-husband
left. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So he left the hospital and he wanted to name our son Tyler James so we could call him TJ. And the whole time I was pregnant with this son, I wanted to name him Caleb. And we were living in Texas at the time, and I wanted to spell it with a K. And he's like, no, his name needs to be Tyler. And I'd named the other kid. So he's like, pretty much, it's my turn. So he named him Tyler, and then he left, and then he went to go take care of other kids. And while he was gone, two missionaries from our church came in to visit me in this hospital in Texas. And I got to talking to them, and they were actually cousins from Oak City. So they were relatives, and I said, I need you guys to do me a favor. Will you look over at this baby and tell me what you think his name should be? And I didn't tell them any name. And they said, Caleb. And I was like, that's my answer. And so
wow.
I changed his name to Caleb. I kept James because that was my ex-husband's middle name. So it's Caleb James. And then I called my ex-husband. And I'm like, hey, just wanted to let you know I changed the name from Tyler to Caleb. He's like, fine, just do what you want. You're going to do what you want anyway. So change the name.
I have a name change story real quick. We got to get a commercial break in, mm-hmm. but real quick. I don't want to say who it is. A relative of mine changed the name of their child, which is not that unusual. Mm-hmm. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
The child was 1.5 years old when they changed the name.
Oh.
It's like, what? And they're like, yeah, just all this time, it just felt wrong calling her this other name. And once we settled on this name, it felt right.
Yeah.
And so they changed it a year and a half into her life. Yeah. I thought it was strange.
My mom's name was changed too. But that's another story.
Another story. I do have, when we come back, I want to congratulate some local guys who have done some pretty cool stuff. And we will talk about, I got a lot of stuff, including some more news. A guy forced his way into someone's house this past weekend in St. George. It sounded like something that would happen in L.A., but no, this was in St. George. We'll talk about that after we do our weather check.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello is here too, hanging with us. Mello is about to head southwest. I'm about to head northeast. So for a while today, we will be like 1,000 miles apart. So maybe 700 miles, 800 miles, something like that. Anyway, I got to turn that down. Sorry about that. I turned the wrong thing down. You there?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting ride.
Yeah, going to Cali on a Friday afternoon, evening is, I guess you're going early though. Maybe you'll beat some of the traffic.
But. I don't know. We've got to head to a doctor's appointment first, so okay. We'll have to wait a little later this afternoon.
Years ago, my wife and I decided, we'd gotten a place on Coronado Island, which, you know, Coronado's awesome. I just love that place.
It's so pretty.
We decided to rent the place out over Thanksgiving weekend. And getting the day before Thanksgiving, got off of work at 2 o'clock, went and drove to Coronado. Well, we were going to drive to Coronado that day, and we got as far as, I think, Victorville. At 10 hours it took to get to Victorville because of the traffic. Oh, it was brutal.
Oh.
We exhausted. We got a hotel room, slept, got up the next morning, and drove the rest of the way. But, yeah, that was... it was bumper to bumper from Vegas on. I mean, it was bad.
Do you remember when they had that truck with batteries on it that, like, had fallen or, like, tipped over on the freeway?
Yeah.
And they closed the freeways both directions? I was coming back from California that day.
Wow.
And we pulled up this app. There's an app you can get. It's called Waze.
Waze. We use Waze, yeah.
And it took us all the way around the traffic, and we got home, like, 3 to 4 hours before our other family members that were coming back that didn't.
I was going to say, I don't think we had Waze when we went to Coronado, because that was about 5 years ago or something. But
do you remember traveling with MapQuest and printing out your directions?
I remember traveling with real maps before there was MapQuest.
Okay, I remember that too. I remember. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
Like, we've come a long way. Very grateful for the technology.
Okay, clean up a couple of things here. First of all, Elbow Canyon apparently is east of Mesquite.
Okay.
And if you take an overview look of Elbow Canyon, it does look, I guess, somewhat like an elbow. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how far this couple was, but they took this dirt, and it's a dirt road. I mean, I'm sure it was a pretty rough road. Why they were out there in a Hyundai Sonata, I do not know, because I own a Sonata, and that is not a four-wheel drive, four-wheeling type of vehicle.
No.
Also got a text from a proud papa, he says, Ian Becker's dad. Sent me a text, and Ian was named Northern Division Player of the Year with Rainy River, Minnesota Junior College. Very cool.
Exciting.
And that actually kind of lead me into the next thing I was going to talk about. Salt Lake Community College is playing for the national championship in junior college.
Cool.
They have several Southern Utah guys on their team. And then Utah Valley University won the WAC, and they're playing for the Division I World Series. Now, they're just in the first round, the regional, but they have... four Snow Canyon guys, three Snow Canyon, Carson Herman, Mason Strong, and Landon Fry, and one Pine View guy, Luke Iverson.
Nice.
Iverson and Fry are tied with the team best with 16 home runs. And to put that in perspective, they played 58 games. 16 home runs is the equivalent of something in the neighborhood of about 50 in the major league level if they played that many games. As a team, Utah Valley hit 81 home runs in 58 games.
Wow.
That's amazing. But 1.2 or something per game. Pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
So congratulations to all of them. I think that's really cool. All right. I wanted to talk about this story. I'm laughing because it's actually hard to believe that this happened in St. George. In fact, the other day, Brandon Hansen came in to do his show. Every Tuesday, he does a senior weekly program. And right before he goes on, I do the news. And I read the news, and that day there was like a murder, and there was like three or four local things that happened. And Brandon said, as he's listening to the news, he came on his show, and he's like, it's hard to believe this is St. George. Mm-hmm. This stuff happens in St. George. Well, that kind of fits right in with what I'm talking about with this one. A late night break-in. I'm reading the story now. This is straight from the wire. Late night break-in turned violent in St. George, ending with one man in handcuffs on Saturday morning, in the wee hours of Saturday morning. Police say 25-year-old Ricardo Sosi was arrested after allegedly forcing his way into a home on East Riverside Drive. We're not talking about Salt Lake or Vegas or L.A. We're talking about St. George, Utah. According to the arrest affidavit, Sosi went to the house at about 11 a.m. and knocked on the door. The resident, like we do in St. George, we don't say who is it, or we don't, you know, try to, we open the door and say, hey, yeah, what's up? How can I help you?
11 p.m. or 11 a.m.?
11 p.m.
Okay.
11 p.m. When he opened the door, Sosi forced his way into the house, which created a physical confrontation. Sosi and the homeowner started fighting. He wanted him out of his house, obviously. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he was able to force him out the door, but the fight continued out the door. The wife was able to take some pictures. Eventually, police showed up, and the Sosi was taken into custody and faces multiple charges, including breaking and entering. But, yeah, what in the world, St. George? What's going on here?
That's alarming. I don't like that. I do have at my house, and it wasn't for security. It's just because I have huge dogs. I have one of those security screens that's big and metal. And so you can deadbolt it. And I leave it open sometimes when I'm sleeping at night just to get the cool air through the house because it's that secure.
Okay, so it's locked, but you have the front door open.
Yeah, I can leave the front door open, and it's secure enough to secure the property.
Yeah, we don't have one of those. That's probably kind of nice to have. But,
yeah, it's kind of like harder. It's not harder to see through, but it's not like mesh, right? It's the metal. But you can see through it. And now I'm glad I have that, because at least that part would be locked.
The thing that I'm just like, you know, I read these stories all the time. I get national news all the time. You know, even Salt Lake stuff, it doesn't surprise me if there's something like this happens in Salt Lake or you know, in Vegas. It seems like there's always something going down in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But this, when I read this story, I'm like, East Riverside Drive. Wait a minute. I was on Riverside Drive yesterday. I haven't driven it today yet, but I was just there. Like, wait, what?
Right. That's a safe area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Details will come out about this in the next couple of days. We'll find out if he actually knew the homeowner. It doesn't seem like he did, though.
I suspect he was under the influence.
I was going to say, it kind of smacks of, Sosi was probably. And again, this is our opinion, no fact involved here.
Allegedly.
He was seemingly under the influence of something, alcohol or otherwise, but we don't know. But it's just scary to think that kind of thing is happening in this town. You know, Mello, I had the 911 dispatchers on a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And it was Annalee and Julie, Annalee Stoker, Julie Packer. And I said something like, well, at least we don't have as much crime to worry about here in town. And they're like, oh, Mr. Griffin, sir. And they didn't say it that way, but I could see in their eyes. They're like, you have no idea that everybody thinks St. George is Mayberry, and it's not. I mean, we have 105,000 people in this city.
Wow.
225,000 people in this county. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the more people you get, the more chance stuff like this is going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you need to be careful, because what's happening, on things I've read, is people are coming from, Vegas and other areas knowing that we're really susceptible because we're not used to it. Mm-hmm. So you need to keep your purse on your person when you're shopping. Don't put it in the front of your cart.
And I would say to you as a realtor, and I've told my wife this, when she has a couple of properties she manages for the city, I'm like, do not meet anyone alone. Do not go to the house. I know you show homes. She shows her rentals. I'm like, make sure there's someone else there, at least in the yard or something, where if you scream, someone would come running.
And right. And you do have to be careful. Yeah. And there's other things they teach you. Like, you don't ever park, in the driveway, because then someone could block you in and then there's no exit. Mm. And when you let them in first and they walk and you have the back egress so you could get out if you needed to.
Nice.
So there's certain techniques as you're showing a property that you protect yourself.
Should a woman be afraid if she's showing the property to another woman or a couple?
You could be. Yeah. We have an app as realtors in Washington County, and it's called Forewarn. And what I can do with that app is I can put a phone number in there. So say I get a call from a lead and I can check the phone number and it will give me just a quick background check on them. So I can see if they've been arrested, what they've been arrested for.
So anybody, I'm in there.
Yeah, you're in
there. My cousin's in there. They're all in there. Okay.
Right. And then I can also kind of decipher which are like spammy because those ones won't come up as anything as registered.
I hate those. My wife does that with Facebook Marketplace. First thing she does is click on the person's name to see how long they've been a member.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are within the last month or two and they have, you know, no likes or no previous sales, she's like, this is a scam. It's not even worth looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I don't know. It is scary, and I've brought my husband with me to showings before when I felt uncomfortable, and I did actually have to call the police about somebody that I was trying to show a house to that kept harassing me on the phone. So it's not all fun and games, but it makes for great stories later. So.
I remember the other story I was reading when Brandon Hansen came in that day. It was earlier this week, the police pulled over a couple in Tokerville.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the freeway, but it was right by Tokerville. It was a guy and a woman. The guy was 40-something. The woman was 20-something. And in the backseat, they had a 15-year-old girl who had been reported missing out of Vegas. And they had recordings on their phone talking about prostitution and about turning tricks. They had a bag with the prostitute-type clothing and weapons and drugs. And the police were 100% convinced they were child trafficking. They were going to go sell her to somebody or set up a beat or whatever for her. And that's happening. You know, I know that was one of those come through things, you know, they're coming from Cali or Vegas or whatever, but that kind of stuff is happening here.
It's sad.
All right, we got another break. Be right back after this short timeout.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. Thanks to those of you who have texted in the program so far. Text line is 467-5842. That's 435 area code 467-5842. And, of course, we'll take calls to 673-5890. Seems like most people would rather text than call nowadays, and I'm okay with that. That's fine with me, right, Mello? We're good. Although you don't get to hear Mello say, hello.
Thanks for calling Andy Griffin Show. How can we help you?
Okay, a couple of other news items. The BLM, not the Black Lives Matter, but the Bureau of Land Management has announced fire restrictions for pretty much the rest of the summer, starting at 12:01 a.m. on June 1st. That's Sunday at 12:01 a.m. That means that no fires outside of designated fire pits anywhere on land that is managed by federal or state. Now, or it's what they call it, unincorporated private land as well, because they're really trying hard to prevent forest fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, there's one more announcement about Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Pioneer Parkway will be closed on Sunday, June 1st from Red Mountain Drive to Lava Cove Drive from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There's going to be a detour through the city. And then June 2nd and June 3rd, the Pioneer Parkway will have closures from 400 East to Red Mountain Drive. So just remember, because that's the road that comes on out to go to Shipwoods.
Okay.
So just so you know.
To go out and get the cheap gas, that one.
You know what? I'm kind of disheartened with that. It doesn't seem as cheap as it used to be. It's not worth my drive anymore.
My brother-in-law was like, swore by the place because of two things, cheaper gas and the jalapeno cheddar hot dogs.
Oh, I want to try that.
They're amazing.
Really?
So that's what he said, yeah.
Okay, I'll do it for the hot dogs, but not for the cheap gas because it's only like 3 cents cheaper nowadays.
Well, yeah, and you would spend that driving there, right? Because it's a few miles out.
Mm-hmm.
The average rate on a 30-year mortgage is at its highest level in 4 months at 6.89%, not as high as it was a year ago, but still higher than it should be. I know that affects you directly in your day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of taken the last month off with my dad's help, but yes, it does.
I did get a text. It's too long to read, but basically many locals are tired of the high-priced homes here and compare our community to other communities. And they came up with a town in Arkansas called Northwest. Northwest Arkansas wins for a more peaceful driving and commuting experience. Okay. I'm not moving to Arkansas, though. I can tell you that right now.
No, sir. But the one thing I like about, like, the South is the way they speak to each other. Like, when you have kids, like, we lived over on the East Coast, and when I would introduce someone to my friend, it was Miss Heather or Miss Allie or Mr. Brian. So there's just, like, that little extra layer of respect, which was really cool.
I can tell you this, growing up in Texas, you did not address adults without a sir or a ma'am if you were under the age of 18. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And it wasn't
military.
It wasn't that you were saying they're better than me. That's just a sign of respect that you were a young person addressing an adult.
Mm-hmm. And there's no decorum like that anymore, like in the West.
Yeah. All right, got 3 minutes left. I got to tell you this quick story. So yesterday, sadly, a family member got in the SUV, didn't check behind the car, backed over and killed a little kid. I know it's heartbreaking. When I was in high school, I had a good friend, and I'm not going to use her name because I don't, maybe she's listening, I don't know, she took the seminary early in the morning, and one morning she got in, and at 5:30 in the morning got in there, what would amount to what they call an SUV. Back in the 80s, we didn't call them that, but got in the family truck or Suburban or whatever it was, and backed over and killed her little brother. There was no logical reason why that child should have been out at that time of the morning. Everybody's like, well, why didn't she look behind the car? Why didn't she check for it? It's dark. It's 5:30 in the morning. She's drowsy. She's going to seminary. I'm not excusing her, you know, that she didn't look, but it's one of those deals. There's a reason. It's not necessarily an excuse, but there's definitely a reason why she didn't look. Logically, that child shouldn't have been there. And the sad thing is that was the day before that happened was the last time I ever saw her, because she quit school, she quit life and everything. She couldn't, and I don't blame her. Can you imagine being responsible? Not just responsible, you did it. Being the person that killed your younger sibling.
I know. It's really hard. I live on a street that's kind of busy, but I have like a little cul-de-sac in front of my street, in front of my house. And there's hardly ever anybody there because there's never any cars I have to look for. And luckily my car beeps at me when I back up and there's something there, because there's been a couple times if I didn't have that beep, I might have bumped somebody.
Yeah.
You're just not ready for someone to be right there when there's never anybody there. It's so hard. Sad for her.
The other thing that happened this week was that girl that stepped in front of a semi driver on purpose on the freeway and committed suicide.
Is that what that was then? I didn't get to hear the rest of that story.
Exit 13, yeah. My son drives truck, and I actually talked to him about that this past weekend. And I said, Dallas, what would that do to you if that happened? And he said, Dad, I don't know if I could ever drive again. He said, I don't. Now, my son has a really soft heart. He's the guy that, you know, he couldn't gut a fish because he didn't want to cause the fish pain, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I know him, and I know it's absolutely 100% true. That would ruin, you know, and he has 4 kids to support. He has a family to support. He needs to have a job, a decent paying job. And truck driving is a decent paying job. But he said, man, if that happened to me, he said, I don't think I could.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever step foot behind the wheel again.
There's a girl in our high school that did that, too. Yeah. That's how she committed suicide.
Very sad.
So sad.
We're out of time. Mello, thanks for hanging out with me
today.
Thank
you. Enjoy your trip.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, good luck going to Cal. Talk to everybody on Monday. Jack will be on the show.